is Tansley Stearns.
Tansley Stearns is your greatest challenger and biggest cheerleader.
Inspirational human being who loves people.
Future forward leadership.
Tansley Stearns is a badass.
Tansley Stearns is my mom, my hero, and I love her very much.
I am Tansley Stearns, and this is Despite Impossible. I am a longtime credit union executive leading Community Financial as president and CEO. I have always admired and been inspired by people whose passion is boundless and who don't comprehend the word impossible. This show focuses on their stories. Today's guest is Tony Rocco, an awe-inspiring painter who is revolutionizing the art scene in Michigan. His artistic quest hasn't always been easy, as summarized in his advice to new artists. Let's learn more about Tony's journey.
Who is Tony Rocco?
Oh, that's an interesting question, because to me, he's still that like 7-year-old, uncertain, underserved, overlooked kid, you know? I mean, today, of course, he's more of like the father, husband, and,
yeah,
and hopefully the mentor. But honestly, I think it's hard to shake that or not identify with, you know, kids that are just kind of overlooked and not really, you know, given individual care and focus for their individualities. And I think that's something that I really is really near and dear to me. So
yeah.
I think I'm still that lost puppy.
You know, what I think is interesting about that is there's beauty in kiddos and their confidence in their art. So do you think that is something you've been able to keep in a way that others couldn't?
Yeah, I think that, you know, kids with confidence and kids that are comfortable in their own skin,
yeah,
is like this phenomenon.
Right.
You know, because I still don't know if I'm there, you know?
Interesting.
And
okay.
So I really think that, you know, those were the kids fortunate enough to be nurtured.
Yeah.
You know, when I see a kid and he's just firing on all cylinders and he's so comfortable in his own skin, it's just a huge inspiration for me.
Yeah, for sure. So finish the sentence for me. The world is a better place when...
Yeah, I think the world is a better place when we, you know, hopefully eventually we'll divert all of our focus and attention to catering to those individualities, you know. There is no one size fits all for
mm-hmm.
kids.
Yeah.
And I think that we're, you know, a lot of times trying the whole round peg in a square hole type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could just, you know, play on their strengths and individualities, I think that it would be limitless. And that sounds cliche, but I just know it to be true from personal experience and what I've been fortunate enough to spend time with my children and point out their attributes, because it takes us so long to realize what we're good at and what our strengths are. And if somebody can come in and help condition us to those
mm-hmm.
and point them out and be like, you really thrive at this. I watched you. You were amazing, you know, and keep pointing those things out to them and then provide them other resources that could help, you know, them look a little deeper into that. It's got to start at the beginning. And I think that it's with kids. And again, I know that sounds so cliche, but I believe it in every fiber of my body.
Awesome. What inspires you?
That's a loaded question. You know, I mean, I drive around, walk around, you know, bumping into walls on inspiration overload. It's restless. It's a double-edged sword. It really is. But you know, and it changes from moment to moment. So it could be, you know, anything from, you know, somebody I run into in the bank that's just captivating and has this presence. It could be that kid that's with certainty, that kid with confidence. Or it could be just stumbling across like the artwork of an unknown artist, mm-hmm. you know? So it's always changing and it's always on overload and it's always got me running into walls and you know, missing stop signs and stuff like that.
It's awesome. When you're in your happiest, most joyful place you're listening to?
I think it's French classics because, yeah right. you know, I've always had this thing for France and I don't get lost and hung up on the lyrics.
Okay.
And so it's all these melodies and, nice. You know, for all I know, they could be tragic songs and I'm sure they are, you know, with happy little melodies. But, you know, it allows me to sort of teleport into another place and time and just makes me happy.
What got you turned on to that?
Well, I've been visiting France for the last 5 years pretty yeah. regular. And, you know, the culture and the friends and family that I've made over there. Also, I've been obsessed with France and all my favorite legendary artists lived and worked there. When I was 7 years old, there was a mentor in my life. And it's interesting because, like, growing up, an immigrant kid and, you know, not speaking English in kindergarten and those kinds of things, you know, like for my parents, you know, getting food to the table was, mm-hmm. was what was important. Not, you know, making sure little Tony got to go to museums and learn about, you know, artists living and working in Paris. But there was this one elderly woman by the name of Miss Goldman, and I would just, I was like 5 and 7 years old and she would say, one day when you're, you know, have a show in France and you're, you know, working there and living there. And she would always have these like grandiose ideas about me. And I used to think she's either absolutely crazy or knows exactly what she's talking about. So I chose to believe that she must have known something that the others didn't, because she was also very cultured. Like, you know, she had had pictures of her father's theater in New York when she was a little girl. She had, you know, the dress that she performed in framed and on the wall. Mm-hmm. Her son had a 45 record. So I was like, she knows something that nobody else does, you know? And so I kind of held on to that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what's made you laugh out loud recently?
Today I was woken up confronted by a squirrel in the window.
Oh.
yeah. He was like challenging me to a fist fight. Like he totally was giving me the look and I laughed out loud. I sort of love that spunk.
Yes.
As you know, on our little ride.
I love that. You know,
I'm yes. a sucker. I'm a sucker for that. So, but that's between you and I.
When was the last time you danced till your feet were sore?
Oh my gosh. If I bring up France again, am I going to get like
no,
something
great.
Thrown at me?
No.
You know, France, they, there's music on the streets everywhere. There's an accordion play. Somebody drags a piano out to the middle of the cobblestone street and, you know, guitarists on every corner. And there's this cabaret called Trois Malais, who I've become very good friends with the performers and a lot of the famed performers that we know, like, you know, Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong and Edith Piaf. And they all had performed there and started out their careers there. And they start singing at about 10 o'clock at night and it goes till 5 in the morning and they sing on the tables and the patrons join them and sing on the table or dance on the tables and yeah. stuff like that. So, yeah. So that's
epic. When. When you feel down, you heal by,
you know, I learned a long time ago that like painting was always the answer. You know, when I get like in a slump and I don't know what to do with myself and I start, you know, becoming down on myself, I had stumbled across the fact that like painting always immediately made me feel better. Although it's the most difficult thing to do when you're down to cross that threshold into the studio. But once you do, it's just, it's meditation and it's amazing. So what I've done is always made it my answer. So when I'm pondering and I don't know what to do and I'm in a funk, I stop searching for the answer and I say, Tony, you already know the answer. Get to the studio, get to painting. And it's never failed. The other thing I think is just, you know, my kids have these healing powers, right? So I can jump in, you know, our classic car together. And then within 5 minutes, I'm, you know, smiling and challenging squirrels to fist fights. Kidding.
Who's someone you look up to?
Again, you know, I don't want to make the whole entire interview about kids, but
yeah,
I really think that they are my biggest inspiration and I look up to them. My children never starved for attention. And so they're these well-rounded beings and they become my little consultants. You know, I've been running ideas by them since they were so small. And I'll tell you what, I can't even express to you how many times I've taken their advice, even from just the youngest age. And they've really never steered me wrong. So yeah.
How old are they now?
18 and 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They've been my voice of reason. They've seen me make bad decisions. But they're pretty great.
Do you have a mantra you live by?
I think the one that comes to mind most is people talk about inspiration and that sort of thing. And I hear a lot of artists say, you know, I just I'm not inspired or I'm not feeling inspired. And, you know, Picasso had this quote and he said, inspiration finds you working. Mm-hmm. And what he means by that is you got to start the process and then it hits you.
Yeah.
And then there's another cheesy one that I love. It's the last line of My Way by Sinatra. What is it? Oh my God. I even wrote it down. I think
I love that.
Anyways, look it up. Oh, let the record show. I took my blows and did it my way.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a testament to like going all in, you know, taking the gut punches and the black eyes and then coming out of it, realizing that it was all for, you know, the purpose.
Yeah.
And I've just always identified with that song as cheesy as it is.
That's fantastic. Do you have a mantra that you live by?
I think those would be them. Yeah. The Picasso one and that. Yeah.
So tell us about your impossible.
Well, one of my first impossibles, I think, was, you know, again, growing up in Section 8 housing and coming from poverty and an immigrant family, I hired in to work on the assembly line at Ford Motor Company.
Yeah.
And although that was my parents' dream and every immigrant's dream to finally have, you know, the security of a weekly paycheck and work and stability and insurance and those kinds of things, it wasn't really my dream.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like a life sentence of working on the assembly line.
Yeah.
And I looked at it completely different. And then lo and behold, you know, sketching on my breaks, I was approached by UAW Ford and management to paint murals to boost company morale within the factory. And then that turned into them naming me the resident artist. So, you know, I went in with no education and I did it because we were still very much struggling at the time. So it was a necessity to get one more set of hands working and providing. And then it turned into, you know, again, art always being the answer.
What are some of the challenges you faced that felt insurmountable?
You know, I think rejection, you know, managing rejection, you know, I can't emphasize enough how much that has been a part of success, and not letting it, you know, stop you and trying. And I I'm challenged by it daily still, but, you know, you work so hard and you put your heart and soul into something and you're easily, you know, rejected or overlooked. And it's so personal, especially when it's, you know, your art and it's something that's like coming directly from you. And for someone to say, oh, don't take it personal is kind of its own slap in the face, you know. But so I think, you know, growing thicker skin and managing rejection.
Did anyone give you advice about that that's been helpful?
Not so much, to be truthful. You know, I hadn't had a lot of artist mentors. And, you know, it's really its own animal. And that's why I, you know, me and Greg and I founded the Art Foundation so that we could share some of these, you know, hurdles with kids that are pursuing art and that sort of thing. So, but I see a lot of memes about it now on, you know, Instagram and stuff like that about rejection. And, you know, you see all the quotes and stuff like that, but they just weren't around when I was a kid.
Sometimes they're not even that helpful.
I think not.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Yes. I think daily, you know, I mean, I would be painting at night, feel so good about what I was doing, and then wake up to an alarm clock, you know, and have to go to work and think, oh, that was a, you know, fallacy, and this is not a reality, and I quit, and I give up. But the one thing that I can really say about me is they were very short-lived. They were, they were often, and sometimes even daily, but very short-lived. You know, like I would, within a few hours often, you know, I'd be like, okay, let's get back to work. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you, I had the curse of you just, I couldn't quit.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Where do you think that comes from, that rigor or drive?
I think it's seeing, you know, the tenacity of, immigrants who come to this country and they don't speak the language and they don't have a vehicle, and they didn't, many times they didn't have a place to stay. They were staying with somebody and they found a way to get a job and get to the grocery store and learn what to buy. And, but I've learned that that tenacity is also something that it's also a double-edged sword. Because sometimes you need to give up on the wrong thing. And, you know, let's say it's a relationship you're in and you're in with the wrong person and you've been conditioned your whole life to not give up. Now, all of a sudden, it's not serving you well. So, again, a good and a bad thing at times.
Would you describe the feeling that you had when you knew your dream was coming to life?
I think it was when... It was kind of twofold. It was when I started to be able to provide for my family through art. But not compromise who I was as an artist. So I didn't just, you know, go into a graphic design world and start, you know, doing illustrations for, you know, vacuum cleaner, vacuum manuals and, you know, like, and saying, oh, you know, at least I'm an artist providing for my family. So, I was able to make a living by painting exactly what I want and who I am without compromise and having that creative liberty. And I think that's very, very rare.
Super rare.
Super
rare. What's one thing you've learned going through this impossibility?
I think there's just... everything that I dreamed of when I was seven is coming and came true. It just took 45 years. So, you know, and I also wasn't aware with all the other stuff that came with it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I dreamed of like one day making a living off my art, and that happened. And I dreamed of, you know, maybe I could sell to famous people someday, and that happened. And then it was like, you know, maybe I could, you know, launch my career in Paris, and that happened. And what I find most interesting about the dream is that the one thing I never knew or had enough experience about was, of all the things I dreamed of, I didn't realize that connecting with people and the connectivity through the art would be the greatest reward. Mm. You know, I didn't know to think of it. I didn't know to dream it up. But what I have learned is the most meaningful connections in my life have come from connecting through the art. And then the dialogue continues. And then the next thing you know, you're eating turkey legs at Thanksgiving with these people, and they become your tribe and your family. And it's one thing I could have never really predicted.
This is a dream, and it's not a fairy tale. So what are some of the challenges you still face?
You know, when you have a gift or talent or something like that creatively, you're left with a lot of other deficiencies, you know? So art isn't just the guy that paints all day and sells his paintings. You know, there's so much administrative, there's so much like, you know, accounting and social media and archiving and fulfilling orders and, you know, documenting everything, you know, imaging everything, putting catalog numbers to them, and, you know, responding to clients and emails. And so that's my biggest challenge. And I've got some great people working with me, but it's not, again, you know, each scenario is so unique and each client is looking for something completely different, that there's no one cookie cutter way to streamline the process. And each client deserves that individual attention. So there's a lot of, you know, front loaded stuff before you ever get to the painting.
Right. A lot of people have dreams and get stuck in action. What advice would you give to people to use that fire in their belly to charge towards their impossible?
You know, I often use this quote, and I think maybe I should stop, because I don't know if it's the best, you know, advice. But when people come to me and they say, in terms of art, yeah, when people come to me and they say, like, how do I make it as an artist? Or what advice would you give an artist? I always say quit. Because if you can, by all means, quit. Because art is only for the person that cannot quit.
Yeah.
You know, like, I couldn't quit. It was not an option. And if you can, by all means, pick another career. you know, and I can't believe I'm putting that on recording, but like, it's something that has to be with, you know, so much a part of you. And they always give me this, these young artists always give me this crazy look when I say that. And I really think it's going to separate the kids that do it from the kids that don't, mm-hmm, because it's not for the faint of heart. It's really not, you know, so.
What's your next impossible, my friend?
My next impossible is, I'll focus on Paris and France. you know, I'm in the process of purchasing an apartment in Paris. I get my keys on the 16th of October.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'll be creating an entire solo show there, spending a lot of time there. And, you know, this has been my dream since I was 7 years old, and I'm not there yet. And, you know, I can still fall on my face and flop. So I would consider that my next impossible.
It's incredible. Well, I'm so grateful for your friendship and your inspiration.
Thanks for having me.
This concludes today's episode. For exclusive content, visit us at despiteimpossible.com and subscribe to this podcast.